Anybody excited to hear from the Word of God today?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, you can never be too excited to hear from the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Good stuff. All right, today we're going to look at two different scriptures, actually. We're going to be, we'll look at a bunch, I'm sure. But we're going to look at two, starting with two. So if you have your Bibles, open up to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Open up to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. And then also, we want you to open up to Daniel chapter 6. So just kind of keep a little bookmark in Daniel chapter 6. But we're going to start with Proverbs chapter 3. The title of today's sermon is Trust, the Opening to a New Spiritual Life. Trust, the Opening to a New Spiritual Life. And so we're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 3. And also, just keep your finger on Daniel chapter 6. So let's hear what God's Word has to say. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Listen to that one more time. Trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? A little bit of your heart? All your heart. That's right. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before You today, God. We are so thankful, Lord, for everything that You provide. God, You provide so many things, God. If we were to start at the front and go to the back, we would never finish, Lord, a service or even the day by talking about all the things we're so thankful for, God. Lord, You are amazing. God, I pray, Lord, that as we deliver this message today, God, that You would just use me as an instrument, Lord. God, there are people here. They may have a smile on their face, but deep down they're hurting. They've had a tough week, Lord. God, there are people here that need to hear Your message, God, for encouragement. There are going to be words that You're going to share, God, that are going to encourage people and build people up, God. And there are words that could change people's lives, Lord. So, God, I know there's a lot of things going on in our lives right now. But I pray, God, that You would purge them from our mind, that You would take them from our heart, Lord. And You would help us just to hear what You have for us today, God. Take everything else out of the world away. Just give us a blank slate, Lord, so that we can focus on Your Word. Jesus, we thank You for everything that You're going to do in this service. We thank You for everything You've done in our life. And we thank You most for sending Your Son, for Your Son, Jesus, to come and die on the cross for our sins. God, so that if we believe, someday we'll be in heaven with You. Thank You, Lord, for Your forgiveness of sin. Thank You for Your mercy and for Your grace. Thank You for cleansing our minds and helping us to understand Your Word today. For it's in Your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So today I want to talk about a five-letter word. It's a word that we've been singing about all morning. It's a word that is the foundation of every good relationship. It's a word that is hard to describe, but it's something that everybody wants. And that word is trust. Trust is a five-letter word. Count it with me. T-R-U-S-T. So let's try that again. Trust. T-R-U-S-T. That's right. Trust. That's what we're going to talk about today. Trust is the difference between happiness and anxiety. It is. Trust is the difference between joy in your life and worry. Trust is the difference between having power and between being fearful. Trust. Now, how many people in the church today have ever had a problem trusting someone? Raise your hand. Let me see that. Have you ever had a problem trusting someone? Let me see. I'll tell you, I understand a little bit about having a problem in trust. You know, when I was a young man, an aspiring young man. I wasn't quite 18 like Andrew, but I was a young man nevertheless. And I wanted a car. Did anybody in here ever want a car? Yeah, come on, we wanted cars. And so I was a young man, and my parents took me down. We couldn't afford to buy a new car, and so took me down to a junkyard. And I was able to pick out a vehicle where I could work on all summer and kind of get it running and fix it up. And so I went there and I picked out my prized possession, a 1983 Ford Mustang GT. Oh, man. You say, Pastor, you bought a Ford? Yes, I did. A Ford Mustang GT. 1983. Boy, I was excited about it. I had a V8. Every young man's dream is to have a V8, right? And so I was working on this thing all summer long. I put brakes on it. We put new plugs on it. We worked on the distributor and got that stuff working. We even took a fender off another car in the junkyard and put it on it. And then we put new tires on it. It took quite a while for me to save up enough money to be able to repair this car. But I was so excited. And so that day came where I was able to start it. And let me tell you, I don't care if you like Ford, Chevy, Dodge, whatever it is. There is nothing on the planet that sounds like a good running Ford Mustang. Even I have to admit that. And it was a good sounding car. I started that thing up. And it had that deep growl, you know. I just felt like beating my chest. I was so happy. And So I got in this car, and finally I was going to get to drive it down the road. And so I put it in gear, put it in drive. You know, it was automatic. I didn't have a stick at the time. But I put it in drive, and I started cruising down the road. Now, the first mile I was pretty cautious. I was listening for different sounds and everything. I wasn't the greatest mechanic when I was a little kid, and probably not the greatest mechanic now. But anyway, I was working on it. I'm thinking about things, and I'm listening for little sounds. Everything was good. Second mile passes by. Feeling a little confident. Third mile, now the speed limits in Illinois are 55, but, you know, why have a V8 Mustang and go 55 miles an hour? So I did what any good teenager did. I blasted the tunes, rolled down the window, felt the breeze in my hair. I was going 65. And as I was driving that car, boy, I was feeling proud. I was feeling good. I mean, granted, the fender didn't match the rest of the car, and it wasn't the prettiest looking thing, but I thought I was good. I'm driving this car down the highway, 65 miles an hour. I'm about 5 miles from home, just happy as I could ever be. Then all of a sudden, it felt like somebody locked up the brakes. And it shifted from drive to first gear. And then a rod came flying out of the engine block and oil everywhere. My dream had been shattered. It was true. It was going to be found on the road dead. And so it was. I didn't even have the title and my name yet. And so I got out and looked, and folks, this is the time before cell phones. I don't know if you guys remember a time like that, but there was no cell phones. I didn't have two cans and a string. I was out of luck. I was 5 miles from my parents' house, and I had nothing. And so I started walking. By the time I got home, I was mad. I was frustrated. I was angry. I lost all this money. And I went to my mom, and I was like, Mom, that car is a piece of junk. And she's my nickname, Shorty. She said, Shorty, it's okay. Someday you'll own a Chevy. And she gave me a hug. Made my life all better, all better. I'm telling you, trust. Trust is a tough thing. And you know why so many of us have a problem with trust is because we've trusted in someone or we've trusted in something that has let us down before. If you've ever had that situation where you trusted in someone or something and they've let you down before, let me hear you say amen. 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 That's a tough thing, you know. And so I know the congregation kind of identifies with me now. That's good. Thank you. I don't want to look like an idiot up here talking about just my problems. But yeah, so trust, it was a difficult thing. And so sometimes the people we love most, our family, lets us down. Sometimes our friends, people that we believe in, they let us down. Sometimes our jobs let us down. Sometimes our vehicles let us down. Brad, you know what that's like? Your vehicle letting you down? You have any problems with any vans lately? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Poor Brad's got a heater hose getting fixed up and a radiator. And so, yeah. So all these things that we trust in sometimes let us down. And because of that, we feel like, well, we don't give the next person or the next object or the next thing all of our trust because we've been let down in the past. Well, I want to tell you today about one person that will never let you down. One person that you can always trust. And his name is Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. Over the past few weeks, I don't know about you, but I've been going through some tough times. Anybody ever go through tough times or just me again? No, yeah, we go through tough times. We go through hard times. And you say, well, you're a pastor. I mean, how tough can your life be? Aren't you like praying all day long on your knees and reading your Bible? Well, I sure wish I had time to pray all day and read my Bible all day. But no, I'm helping you with your problems. Amen. But I'm telling you, there's problems we have. Our life gets tough sometimes. And so this week was one of those weeks for me. I'm like, God, why am I going through all this stuff? I don't understand it. I'm living for you, Lord. I'm doing things that glorify you, God. But many things in my world, they were just crashing down. They were just falling on top of me. I felt like I couldn't breathe. And then I started worrying. I know worry is a sin. I shouldn't worry, but I was worrying. Then I started to get fear in my heart. I started to be scared. What is tomorrow going to bring? I can't even stand. And so I turned to the Lord in prayer and I said, God, I don't know what to do. I've got nothing, Lord. And he reminded me, you've got me.
Amen.
I said, Jesus, what am I going to do with this problem? He said, Alan, I am bigger than your problem. And I said, well, I know, Lord, but this is a bigger problem. This is a pretty big problem. He said, Alan, I'm bigger than your fears. I'm bigger than your worries. I created this world, and I can deliver you from this problem. And I said, but God, how are you going to do that? He said, Alan, trust me. Just trust me. So I searched the scriptures. I said, man, where is that psalm where David was crying out to the Lord? Where he was like, Lord, help me, deliver me from my enemies. If you know anything about the book of Psalms, there's a ton of them out there where David starts like that. Well, this particular one that the Lord led me to was Psalm 18. I'm not going to read it all to you. It's 50 verses. But if you remember that, write it down. Psalm 18. It will change your life. So Psalm 18 God gave me. And then he gave me this. He said, you need to trust in me, Alan. And I said, well, I do trust in you. He said, no. Not with part of your heart. But with all of your heart. Because, Alan, if you trust in me with all your heart, you won't worry. You won't have any anxiety. You won't be fearful. He said, give it all to me now. And I thought, I need to do that. And then God gave me that word from Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. I needed that verse, folks. I don't know if you need it today, but I needed it. I needed to hear that I needed to trust in the Lord with all of my heart. Give him all of my problems. Give him all of my fears. Give him all of my worries. And I love the second part too. It says, lean not unto your own understanding. You know what causes us not to trust God? Is by leaning unto our own understanding. And so he says, trust in me with all your heart. Don't lean on your understanding. Who cares about what you think, Alan? Just trust me. Man, that's powerful. And so I kept repeating that verse over and over again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Trust in him and he will lead you and make all your pathways straight. And I just kept repeating it and repeating it and repeating it. And then this song came into my heart. I will keep trusting the Lord. I'm getting ready. Well, this crisis happens. I'm getting ready to go buy food for Wednesday night service. In this song, I will keep trusting the Lord. It's in your hymnal, hymn 453, if you want to look it up later. It comes into my heart. And so I step out of the truck. And I get ready to walk into Rebels. And there's always people wandering around there. And I just start singing at the top of my lungs. I just keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. I just keep trusting my Lord, and he gives me a song. Though the storm clouds darken the skies, or the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord, he will never fail. And then I continue, he's a faithful friend. He's a faithful friend. You can count on him till the very end. People are looking at me like I'm crazy. I just keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. I just keep trusting my Lord as I sing this song. People are like, this guy needs a psychiatrist. But I'm singing it as I'm walking around in Rebels. People are looking at me. Some lady had a Jesus shirt on, and she's kind of looking at me. I'm like, you don't trust in the Lord wearing a Jesus shirt? She starts laughing. And I go up, and there's a lady stalking. She's got junk everywhere, and I'm singing that song. And she stops what she's doing, looking at me like I'm growing horns or something. I just smile and wave at her and keep on singing and go on. Amen. As I kept repeating that song, as I kept sharing that scripture, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. Acknowledge him and he'll make all your paths straight. You know what happened? That fear that I had started to go away. That worry that I have, it was gone. That comfort, God started giving me comfort that was changing my life. All because of that scripture and singing a song. God said, that situation you're worried about, Alan, I got it. Don't worry about it. Folks, I don't know if you know this or not, but it doesn't matter how smart you are. It doesn't matter how wealthy or poor you are. It doesn't matter how strong you are. It doesn't matter how good you are. Sometimes things are going to happen to you. It rains on the just and the unjust. And when you start to learn to trust in Jesus, you won't be worrying about those things of the world anymore. They'll be gone. But now the trust I'm talking about is a trust from the bottom of your heart with all your heart. You see, it's not good enough just to believe that you're supposed to trust with God in here. This thing is, it's like a little tank, like a gas tank. It keeps a lot of stuff in there, but it doesn't always get to where it needs to go. But when you can open your heart and really trust in God with your heart, you'll make a difference. It'll make a difference in your walk with God. It'll make your difference in your happiness every single day of your life when you really trust Him with all your problems. Does anybody remember the story about Daniel in the lion's den? Anybody ever remember that? Well, I want to refresh your memory a little. Open your Bibles up to Daniel chapter 6. I want you to see this for yourself. We're going to talk about somebody who trusts the Lord. Two people. Daniel chapter 6, starting with verse 10. It says, now when Daniel knew that there was writing that was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day. And he prayed and he gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and they found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And so they went before the king and they spoke concerning the king's decree. They said, King, have you not signed a decree that says every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, well, that thing is true according to the law of Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. So these people, they answered and they said before the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show any regard to you, O king, or for that decree that you have signed, but he makes his petition three times a day, meaning he prays to God. And the king, when he heard these words, he was greatly displeased, not with Daniel, but with himself. And he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. He loved Daniel, and he labored to go down to the sun to deliver him. He didn't want to go and throw Daniel in this lion's den. He cared about Daniel. And then verse 15 says, then these men approached the king and they said to the king, now, O king, that is the law of Medes and the Persians, that no decree or statute which the king established may be changed. Verse 16 says, so the king gave the command and they brought Daniel and they cast him into the den of lions. But then the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it by his own signet ring and with the signets of the lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. What a tough situation. Daniel didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. He was just praying to his Lord and Savior. The king liked Daniel. But those people, they tricked the king. And they said, King, you are the only one that's worthy of praise. If anybody's bowing, they need to bow before you. And boy, that king, maybe he wasn't paying attention or maybe he had some pride. I don't know what happened. But the king said, you're right. And he said, yeah, for 30 days, nobody's praying to anybody, any other god or any other person but me. And he signed it with his signet ring. And when he did that, it became law. And so now, he's got Daniel thrown in this lion's den. Daniel's caught praying to God, the creator of the earth, and he gets thrown in the lion's den. He didn't do anything wrong. What terrible news. But if you look at verse 16, you'll see that the king, he trusted that God would save Daniel. Look at what it says there. It says, so the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Now, he didn't know how it would happen, but the king, he believed it. Folks, I don't know what's going on in every single one of your lives today, But I do know that there's some people here today, and they feel like they're in the lion's den. Anybody feel like they're in the lion's den? You're dealing with something. You don't know how to get out of it. You're trapped. You feel like you didn't do anything wrong, but you're still in the lion's den. You may be doing all the right things. You may be living a life that glorifies God. You might be helping others. You might be loving others. You might be a great citizen. But for some reason, you are in the lion's den too, just like Daniel was. And so what I want to tell you today is, don't give up hope. Don't lose hope. Trust in the Lord and He'll bring you through it. He's the God of the mountains and the God of the valleys. He's the same God who delivered the people out of Egypt from the Pharaoh. He's the same God who gave the perfect sacrifice at the perfect time for Abraham and Isaac. He's the same God who walked through the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and emerged unscathed. That's the God that you serve. God is with you. You can trust Him. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what's best for you. And He's in that lion's den with you today. If you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you have nothing to fear about being in the lion's den. The world has no power over you. Your citizenship is in heaven. Say that with me. My citizenship is in heaven. Do you believe that? Let me hear you say it. My citizenship is in heaven.
My citizenship is in heaven.
That's right. So you have nothing to fear. You have nothing to worry. That Satan, he can't do anything to you. He can't touch you. You got to hang in there. You got to keep praying. You got to keep trusting. Let's see what happened to Daniel. Look at verse 18. It says, now the king went to his palace and he spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning, and he went into haste in the den of the lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. And the king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, who you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel, and he shut the lion's mouth, so that they did not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken out of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found on him, because he believed in his God. Folks, it's time that we transition that thought to believing and to really believing. It's time that we take that thought of trusting Jesus and we really start putting it into action with everything. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, not just part of your problems, not just part of your struggles, but everything you have. Take it to Him. That's the only way this is going to work. We've got to put our beliefs into actions. Jesus delivered Daniel, and Jesus will deliver you. Maybe today you're facing a trial. I want you to know that whatever you're going through, it's not unknown by God. He knows what you're dealing with right now. And the Bible says He won't leave you nor forsake you. So whatever you're going through, whatever trial, whatever tribulation you face, God is with you in that. But you got to trust Him. Folks, we're going to face trials and tribulations. It rains on the just and the unjust. Next time you find yourself worrying, you see that acid reflux is bothering your stomach. You feel that pain in your stomach from that ulcer. You see your stomach getting upset. It's a good reminder that you got to stop worrying about it and you need to start praying about it. It's time to trust. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. You have it in your bulletin. I suggest you circle that so you can look it up later. Here's what it says. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Say that with me. Don't worry about everything. Instead, pray about everything. Yeah, see, don't worry about everything. Instead, pray about everything, right? That's not too hard for us. It says, tell God what you need. Thank Him for all that He has done. Then you will experience God's peace. Does anybody want God's peace? I'll tell you, when I was in the middle of that lion's den, that's the only thing I wanted was God's peace. Here's the formula right here for success. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank Him for what He has done. And then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Worry, anxiety, they hurt us physically. You may not realize it. You know that trust and worry are opposites, it's impossible to do both at the same time. You can't trust and worry at the same time. They're opposites. So when you find yourself getting anxious, ask yourself, am I trusting Jesus with this? When you find yourself worrying, ask yourself, am I trusting Jesus with this problem? Folks, if you don't listen to anything else, listen to this. Every single relationship that will be good in your life is based on trust. If your relationship with your husband or wife isn't based on trust, you don't have a relationship. If your relationship with your children and your parents isn't based on trust, your relationship doesn't have a foundation. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then it has to be based on trust too. How come as Christians we can trust Jesus with our salvation? How come we can trust Him that He's going to save us from all of our sins, that someday we're going to go to heaven? We have no problem trusting Him with that. But these little problems that happen every day, well, you don't trust Him. Why? Isn't that ludicrous? Isn't that crazy? We trust Him with our life for eternity, but we don't trust Him for the little problems that we're dealing with today. It's crazy. Folks, it's time that we take that trust from our heads and we really apply it to our heart. It's time that we stop keeping stuff from the Lord and we start truly trusting Him. I want you to know that if you're a Christian, the Bible says if God is for us, who can be against us? Say that with me. If God is for us, who can be against us? Remember that. If God is for us, who can be against us? The world can't stand against us. Satan can't stand against us. God says we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So don't give up that pit that you're in, that situation that you're struggling with. God is with you and He loves you. But I don't want you to take my word for it. He'll pull you out of the pit. I want you to hear this from Romans chapter 8, verse 31. It says, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it that can condemn you? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. It says, it is written, for your sake, we're all killed all day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. But yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Now, this is my favorite part of this verse. It says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created things, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Folks, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing. It's what it says. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? We're more than conquerors. And there is nothing that can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. Folks, when you realize that there is nothing that can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ, when you realize that you are more than conquerors, you don't have to be fearful. You can overcome anything. But the problem is you have to trust. You have to trust. And so my question is, do you trust? Do you really trust in the Lord? Examine your heart. Absolutely nothing in this world or nothing in the worlds to come can separate you from the love of Christ. Folks, whatever den you're in, whatever situation you're in, we don't need to keep our heads down. We need to pick our head up. We need to praise the Lord for how He's working. We need to thank God for what He is doing. God always works on behalf of what's best for us. You may not see it yet. You may not understand it yet, but He is. You got to move that trust from knowledge in your brain to trust in your heart and really give Him everything that you are. Believe it. Look, I know there's people here that are struggling with this message today. I know there's people that are having a hard time saying, Pastor, I don't know how to move this information from my head to my heart. I really want to trust Jesus with this problem. I really want to ask Him to help me in this situation. But I just don't know how. I don't have time. Those excuses just come and come and come. There is change that has taken place here today. I can feel it. God is moving in someone's heart here today. The Holy Spirit is working. Right now as we sit here, He is delivering one of us or more of us from the pit we're in. He's delivering you from that lion's den. He's taking you from that place of despair to that place of hope. Let the Lord work. Don't refuse the work of the Holy Spirit. Don't quench its power. God wants you to trust Him. He wants you to receive His love. God wants to change your life, but it's up to you. You got to stop refusing. You've got to open your heart. If you want to come talk to God about your situation that you're having problems with, if you want to come and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you just want to come up here and say, God, thank you for delivering me this week. Thank you for pulling me out of this den. Come for whatever reason you need to come. It's time for us to stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Let us stand and bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to You today, God, the Almighty Creator, the Alpha and the Omega, God. There is nothing on this earth that we can't trust You with, Lord. God, help us to trust You. Help to change our spiritual life today, Lord. We've been bound, Lord. We believe because of other people letting us down and family members and jobs and friends letting us down. We believe, Lord, that we can't trust things, God. Help us to understand we could trust You with all things, Lord. God, it reminds me of that lyric from that song, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way, like we sang today, but to be happy in Jesus, just to trust and obey. Help us understand in our hearts, Lord, today, God, that we can trust You. God, help remove us from that pit. Help take that doubt from our heart and replace it with trust, Lord. You tell us that if we have the faith of a mustard seed, God, we can move a mountain, Lord, in prayer. So, Lord, help us to trust You today. Help us to believe, Lord, in our hearts, God, that no matter what situation we're in, God, no matter what we're going through today, Lord, that God, You can help us, Lord. Help us to trust in You. Help us to trust in You. Help us to give it all to You today, Lord, as we come to You in prayer, Lord. If anybody wants to come and pray, please come and pray at this time.